I've got this idea that you had to support activists, and I know a lot of activists, they don't know how to perhaps edit video or edit audio even, or even shoot or capture these things. But they are very used to doing plenty of research and talking to people about this research and attending public meetings and protests and getting on the megaphones and what have you, talking about these things that they know. So I figured, is that not what a reporter is supposed to be? The person who does all the research and knows what they're talking about? So I went out and I started asking these people the important reporter questions, not the business representatives, not the politicians, but these people with the megaphones and the moth-eaten cardigans and the and the cars that are unwarranted and unregistered and chucking out black smoke or have a door panel missing or something like that. These people, holy cow, do they know amazing things. They don't seem to get recognized. And they don't seem to be listened to. And I thought to myself, you know what? These people are actually the worthy celebrities of our time. These are the people who actually deserve recognition. These are the people who sweat and bleed and live hand to mouth in order to protect their fellow people, their citizens, from tyranny. And they're in a position where they are in no way, shape, or form is there a more poignant commentator. So these become the sources, and I start going to the public meetings, going to these protests, and going to their homes and interviewing these people and just publishing it all up on YouTube. And I started to gain a rapport to where people on radio shows would notice me. I've been in the mainstream media. I've been in a number of magazines. I've been on maybe 100 to 200 radio shows on other people's broadcasts, and I've interviewed some of the top activists in every field from all over the world. Whether you can be talking about things as small as privatization, or things as widely ranging as Agenda 21 to chemtrails or the Federal Reserve Bank. Pretty much the entire spectrum, even going into some of the real weird, strange stuff like time travel with Andrew Bruschago and all these people that come out with these really amazing stories that you hear on Coast to Coast that sort of bend your reality somewhat if it were true. However, I'm not so much interested in finding out and doing the absolute 100% dutiful research. What I instead want to do is simply talk to these people and make up my own mind based upon my previous experiences and whether or not I believe they've got sufficient evidence. It makes no never mind to me, because I'm there to make sure that they have some fun while they talk about whatever they wish to talk about.
That's awesome.
And that's a public platform.
Yeah, that's something that I'll admit I had some difficulty with, and I keep that as my goal for even the Sync books. We just put out the second volume of the Sync book, and we are, I put in there people with differing or opposing positions, and this was important to me, was to make sure that it was a platform where the different points of view could be presented. But every now and then I sort of get a little uncomfortable is doing that balance, where you give someone a platform, is it an implied, shall we say, an implied consent or that that you're in agreement with the person that you're giving that platform to, and obviously that can't always be the case. That you're giving a platform to people with different points of view, you can't possibly agree with all of them. But I think that's a really interesting challenge, and it's the challenge that comes with true journalism, would be to allow these things to just have their moment, let them make their case. Do you try and just let them make their case, or are you trying to challenge what they say? What is your approach to doing this?
I believe it's on the points we agree that we should come together and discuss and collaborate on what we can. And the points that we disagree, we can kind of leave those for another time. Maybe a time when maybe perhaps they personally attack me, or the people who are trying to exterminate us in a ruthless, criminal, sociopathic fashion are defeated. Then we can start disagreeing about things, but at the moment we agree on the fundamentals. So I just want to sit there, hear you out, and go, yeah, bro. I mean, I might be thinking, this guy's freaking nuts. But I'll just try and steer the conversation in a way where I can find something with them that I agree about on air, and we have some fun. And I guarantee this is something I do guarantee every single guest. I will make you laugh during the course of this broadcast, and I hope that the fact I put so much effort into editing the audio archives, writing up little blogs, stitching pictures together, uploading the webcam versions of the radio broadcast to YouTube on a daily basis. So I'm producing a minimum 2 hours of content per day, both in an audio-only format and in a video format, as well as any other shows that I'm on. And I'm on other shows so regularly that I routinely spend more hours of a week on other people's broadcasts than I do on my own. And I do 10 hours a week on my own. And every single day, I'm interviewing somebody different. Like just yesterday, for example, you ever hear about the US third party debate with Larry King?
Oh yeah. From there was a documentary called Spin, an excellent, excellent documentary where they feature some of the unedited footage of Larry King talking during the commercial breaks. You ever see that?
No. But anyway, the third party. I was trying to make a point about the kind of people that I have on the show, but
Please go ahead.
I was talking about Christina Tobin from freeandequal.org, who organized the recent third-party debate that was moderated by Larry King, which was the very first third-party debate that had ever been organized in U.S. history in over 200 years. This is the first one. And I had her on yesterday. And after her, I had Josh Tolley, who is the radio show host who does 5 days a week, in the 2 hours before Alex Jones comes live on GCN. And I was just sitting back, this little 27-year-old from New Zealand, and this is kind of the caliber of people that I get to talk to. And in a way, I live my life vicariously through both the people that I interview and the people who interview me. And I just try to do the right thing, whatever it is. And if I'm going to take action on something, that's when I start to research into it, so I know that I'm not going down some kind of spurious rabbit hole. But if I'm not actually going to further research into anything because of time constraints or whatever, it simply launches itself into the realm of possibility. You know, I heard about that once. Are you sure? Is there any evidence? Like if it comes up in a conversation or whatever, then we'll kind of think about it. But I allow things to stew, especially the crazy things, because the crazy things are quite funny. And it keeps you sane, incidentally, laughing at insanity. What a lot of people do is they think, man, that's so crazy. Why would somebody think like that? Why would somebody do like that? And they mistakenly try to understand the insanity. And you know what you have to do? You know what you have to become in order to fully understand and comprehend insanity?
Willy Wonka.
You've got to go insane.
That's so funny because that's – so David and I did most of the show before you came on. We were talking about very much that same idea of trying to do this tightrope walk through insanity or over the abyss of insanity, because, of course, nowadays we're getting this swirl of media, forgetting anything spiritual or esoteric about it, just the maelstrom of media that's out there and different perspectives. So you sort of do this tightrope walk through that abyss, trying to understand some of the insanity, trying to make sure it doesn't infect you too much.